You know, over the last year, a lot of us have just watched as God has continued to work in their lives and seen Gary just getting stronger and stronger physically, and how the Lord is just restoring him, making him whole in every way. And amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Good to see you this morning. I believe the Lord wants to speak to each and every one of us today and do a work in our hearts today. I believe I have a word from the Lord for us, for this body today. And we need to pray and open our hearts. Let's do it intentionally and not take it for granted. Let's pray right now. Father, we ask, Lord, that you speak to us. And Lord, I pray you help me, Lord, to just be an obedient servant and messenger from you today. And Lord, help me to communicate the eternal truths of your word with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that accomplish what you desire. And so, Lord, we open our hearts to your word, and we invite you to speak to us and to work in our lives today to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want to tell you, this past year has certainly been an unusual year. It's just impacted every part of our culture and our lives in some good ways and in some negative ways. And just being real honest and candid this morning, it has definitely impacted the church and been a difficult year for churches. In many ways, I believe that it was an attack of the enemy against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what I know: not even the very gates of hell can stop his church that Jesus is building. And you know, just like in this wonderful testimony, many times the things that Satan means for harm, the things that are done for evil, God can turn it around and bring good out of it. God can use it to bring victories. And I see that God is moving among his people and stirring his people, that there, among many, there is renewed passion to serve the Lord with the whole heart, to really be on fire for God and to do something for God and to reach this world. And I tell you, I'm excited about that. That's a good thing. And it's something that God, you see, is using the events of this past year. He's using that to turn a lot of things around for our good and for his glory. I believe that. Now, this past year, we certainly were very thankful for modern technology and the ability for us to be able to worship together online when we had to. And for many who didn't feel safe, it was safe to come back to church yet. It was a wonderful thing to have that opportunity to be able to worship online together. And I thank God for that. I want you to know that I'm thankful that technology isn't just used for evil, it's used for good. Amen. But I want to say this very plainly now: it's time to come back.
Amen.
It's time for the people of God to come to church and to worship together. This is, that should not be a permanent plan where this is the way we're always going to worship. I'm telling you, there's so much that is lost in what church is and what it's supposed to be when we have that mentality. No, there's a lot of church that just happens when we are together.
Right.
Hebrews 4:24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, and let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." So evidently, this habit of not meeting together has been going on a really, really long time, because the writer of Hebrews wrote about it then. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, let us not give up this habit of meeting together. It's a good habit. Listen, see, sometimes people are like, oh, we don't want to just have some religious habit. No, we don't. But this is a good habit when we do it for the right reasons, that we come together. And in our generation right now, this has almost become epidemic, that we don't see the need to meet together. It's been going on a long time, but it's just really intensified in the last 30 years or so, where more and more believers don't go to church regularly. I remember a time when it was the normal thing to go to church Sunday morning. Well, we'll start with Sunday school. Then you had church. Then you went back on Sunday night. Then you went on Wednesday night. You went to prayer meetings. And it wasn't because we were a bunch of religious old people just doing something out of habit. It was because people were hungry for God and the things of God and all they could get. And so now we've come to a place where the average church-going Christian, there's a lot of Christians claim to be Christians, they don't ever even go to church. But the average church-going Christian statistically goes once or twice a month. What is going on in the body of Christ with the attitude about the church? And I'm telling you that it is having an impact. It has an impact on the church. The gates of hell can't stop the church. Hollywood can't weaken the church. Some people are way too worried about Hollywood. Hollywood can't weaken the church. The government can't weaken the church. Did you know that some of the most oppressive governments in history have caused the church to flourish? Including the first century Christians. I'm just saying the government can't weaken the church, but the church is weakened when the body of Christ no longer sees a need to come together. I'm telling you, there is a strength, there's a power that comes from that unity of coming together as the people of God, and we need that. People are being won to the Lord all around the world. And all around the world, the church is growing. But in America, we have lost ground in the last 30 years. Percentage-wise, there are fewer people in America that believe in Jesus than there were 30 years ago. And I'm telling you this morning that part of the problem is this negative mindset about church. There's this halo effect, where they call it, where people report their church attendance a lot more than it really is. But the truth is that in America today, in spite of the fact that 70% claim to be Christian on any given Sunday, there's going to be less than 1 out of 5 people that are in church. Something like 17 or 18% will actually be in church on any given Sunday. Why? Because of this negative mindset and attitude about the church in our generation. Not only among unbelievers, but even among believers. There's this negative mindset many times about church. And we want to reach the world. We want to get people saved and born again. But why would any unbeliever that gets saved think they need to go to church when believers don't even think they need to go to church? For the church to be effective in this hour in history, I'm telling you, we need to overcome that negative mindset about church. Every believer ought to love the church. I mean, love the church passionately. You know why I say that? Because the Bible tells me in Ephesians 5:25 that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So we ought to love the church. Now, some people, you know, they say, they have this attitude at least. They say, well, you know, I love the universal church. I just don't care anything about the local church. That's just like saying, you know, I love everybody. I just don't love my neighbor. That's hypocrisy. I love the universal church. I just don't care about the local church. That's hypocrisy. It's easy to say, oh, I love everybody. Just not that one. I'm telling you, we need to get past this negative mindset. You know, the world disparages the church all the time. But the church, believers, we ought to be bragging about the church. Listen, we shouldn't be ashamed of the church. It's Jesus' church. It's his bride. It's what he's coming back for. Why would we be ashamed of the church?
Amen.
It is a worldly attitude that is so taken hold in the church. And it's time for us to break free from that, cast down that old stronghold. That we are not going to be ashamed of the church of Jesus Christ. I don't know how believers could be so apathetic about the church when Jesus is so passionate about his church. He's still building his church. He's building his church. How exciting to be a part of a team that can't lose. Jesus is building his church. I'm not ashamed of the church. It's his church. He's building his church. He died for his church. He's coming back for his church. And I tell you, we need to love the church, and we need to know why we go to church. I'm going to tell you some reasons, a couple of the main reasons I hear that people don't go to church. The first one is, we've heard it, we've all heard it, they don't want to go to church and be with the hypocrites. Now, I know that on any given Sunday in any church, there's probably some pretender, somebody who's not sincere. But what I also know is that the vast majority of people that go to church today, they go to worship God. They go with a sincere heart. They're not perfect people. In fact, they acknowledge the fact that they need a Savior. And so they go to church to worship the Savior who died on the cross and shed his blood for them. That's in part why they go to church. In fact, I'm going to just be bold here this morning, and I'm just going to say what I really believe is the truth. It is hypocritical to point the finger at other people and judge them and act like you're too good to be with them. None of us is perfect. And guess what? Is the church perfect? No, because it's made up of people. And that includes every single one of us. But that old lie, I don't want to go down there and be with the hypocrites. I just got to tell you, that is a deception of Satan. And you'll see in the scripture as we go through this morning that that's not the answer. That's not the way. That's not right. But the church is not just some man-made organization. It is the body of Christ in the earth today. Oh, that should speak volumes to us. That's not just some cliche, some religious phrase. It is a truth, a spiritual truth from God's word, that the church is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. We need to love the church, and we need to know why we go to church. Another reason that people don't go to church is because they say, well, I've been hurt at church. Someone offended me. Somebody did me wrong. Well, first of all, I just want to use a little logic here and just ask, what do they do when somebody offends them at work? How about this one, Mom, Dad? Your kid comes home and says, my parent or my teacher didn't treat me right. They were unfair. And the way they did this test, I'm not going back. How many of you mom and dads just say, well, that'll be just fine, darling. That sounds right to me. I have to tell you, in 40 years of ministry, I certainly have been hurt many, many, many times. And almost always by believers, church-going people. People who were supposed to be spiritual. And then sometimes it really crossed the line where they hurt my family. But ain't nobody getting me out of church. And especially not some mean old religious person. I'm not giving them control over my life. And I know what my Lord says for me to do. Forgive. As I've forgiven you. And you know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to move on. I'm going to receive God's healing. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to let those people keep me from what God has for me. No, that's a terrible reason to quit going to church. Forgive and move on and get on with what God has for you. I know there's mean old religious people that show up at church sometime, and I just got to tell you this morning as a pastor, I am so thankful for you. I honestly believe this is the sweetest group of people that God ever gathered together in one place, and if you find some mean old religious person, it's amazing to me they don't seem to want to stay here. I think it's because you are such good, sweet people, they can't get any traction. You know what I'm saying? And so they just move on. But what I know, though, is that even if somebody rubs you the wrong way, you find somebody that you don't like, well, guess what? There's going to be a whole lot of others you can like. I mean, not everybody's your cup of tea, right? But, and by the way, and if you can't find some that you do like, well, they're not the problem, are they? Okay. You've gone to meddling. The sad truth is that a lot of believers act like that church is something, going to church is something that you do if you're in the mood, if it's convenient, if you just decide you want to, if something doesn't come up. Why do I go to church? You need to settle it in your heart. You need to know in your heart why you go to church. And there's a lot of different reasons, but I'm going to give you some from the scripture today. You need to know, not only for yourself, but for people that you talk to about the Lord. The Bible says that we're to have an answer to every man. And so if you're going to talk to people about the Lord, here's what Jesus says in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Now, if we're going to teach them all of the things that Jesus has commanded us, I mean, we're still learning them, right? Most of us, we're still learning, right? Learning all the things that He's commanded us. You know what? We're going to have to get those people in church. Amen. And you're not going to get somebody in church if you're not in church. Amen. Man, you ought to come visit my church. Now, I won't be there for the next 3 weeks, but you ought to come visit. Don't understand it. So why do we go to church? I go to church first and foremost because the Word of God tells me to. We read it, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us also encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, he says that we're supposed to encourage one another. We get so much negative input from this world. We need encouragement. You're going to live for God? We all need to encourage one another. If you don't need it today, well, somebody else does. It's not just about me, right? It's not just about you. If you don't need encouraging, somebody else does. And so we're supposed to be encouraging one another all the time. But if you look at verse 24, he says that we should spur one another on to love and good deeds. We need to stir one another up to love and good deeds. I see a lot of believers in our world right now, they're all stirred up with anger. They're all stirred up over this cause or that cause. But what we need to be stirred up with is the cause of Christ. And here's what our world needs to see. They need to see more of our love and good works. That's what this old world needs. Jesus said that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And I'm just telling you, we need that stirring each other up to love and good works all the time. Because this world will stir you up, but not for the right things. I go to church because Jesus went to church. I'm following Jesus. And when Jesus walked this earth, He went to church. By the way, he still goes to church. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He still goes to church every time. But when he walked this earth, the Gospel of Luke tells us when he began his ministry, it's Luke 4:16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, this was his way of life, this was his habit, his custom. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he read from Isaiah. This is how he began his ministry. Now, before that day was over, those people were so excited about Jesus that they threw him out of town. I don't know if that's ever happened to you at church, but that's what happened to Jesus at church that day. So I guess he didn't go back. I guess he just dusted the dust off his feet and never went back to a synagogue, to a church again. No, Jesus went to church until the day they came to take him away to crucify him. And that night, when they came to take him, Mark 14:49 tells us, Jesus says, "I was daily with you in the temple teaching." How often? He says, "I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." "I was daily with you in the temple teaching," Jesus says. Jesus went to church. Were there hypocrites? Oh man, there were boatloads of hypocrites, all kinds of scribes and Pharisees and religious people. Jesus went anyway. Things going on at church that shouldn't be going on, Jesus still went. I go to church because Jesus went to church. We need to get back to this mentality, this mindset. Instead of this mindset, that the negative mindset about the church, we need to get back to this mindset about church that I don't miss church. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you, brother. I don't miss church. I am committed to going to church. Amen. It says something to the world. It says something about my commitment to God that I have time to go to church. I know what I'm preaching right now is going right against the grain of this pop theology and the religious culture of the day. I also know that it's truth from God's Word. This is what you see in the scripture. This old mentality that's just taken over where, you know, well, if it's convenient, if I'm in the mood, if I decide, you know, it's my life, I do it. How about when you call Jesus Lord? I go to church. It's a lukewarm church that sees no need to come together in worship. I go to church to worship the Lord. I come here to bless Him, to celebrate Him, to praise Him, to give Him the thanks that's due Him. I enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. I sing psalms unto Him. I come to worship. Now we should be praising the Lord every day in our life, as the psalmist said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." You ought to be praising God everywhere you go. But let me tell you something. If you're doing that, you'll be at church. Because we're also supposed to come together as the people of God. Yes. It's powerful when we come together as the people of God to praise Him. Psalm 35:18, one quick example. "I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people." See, we come together to praise Him publicly, to let everybody know how good our God is to us. Now, first and foremost, we're doing it for the Lord. We're letting God know. You say, "Well, He knows my heart." The Scripture says that we're supposed to do it. You know, this is part of what worship is it's expressing our love for Him, our dedication to Him. We're supposed to express it to Him. He's blessed us so much, and we're to come and bless Him. Psalm 111 and verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." You see, our commitment to go to church to worship God says something to to those around us. It says to them that our God is important. It's not just a little religion we got, but He's the most important thing in our life. I go to church. I go to church to worship God. Next, I go to church to encounter God in a special way. And you know, that so often has to do with us coming together in worship. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of Israel or His people. He is there in our midst. Jesus said, if any two or three gather together, there am I in the midst of them. And I know very well that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere you go. He's with you in the car. But I also know that there's a special manifest presence of God that comes when we gather in His name. If it wasn't so, Jesus wouldn't have made a point of saying it. There's something special. There's something powerful when the people of God come together. I want to encounter God in a special way. Listen to this from Psalm 26 and 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of Your house and the place where Your glory dwells. Most of us who have been in Spirit-filled worship services many times, we know there is something that is so tangible sometimes, that you can feel the presence of God. I believe that He's there when we gather in His name, even if you don't get some goosebumps. But how wonderful to feel the presence of God and know that you've encountered the Holy One. And sometimes it just, you know, some people it causes them to shout. Some people it just causes them to weep. Some people it causes them to tremble. I'm just telling you, there is a manifest presence of God. We encounter Him in a special way. And God, the Holy Spirit, moves and works in our lives. Can He do that at your home? Well, of course He can. He can do whatever He pleases. But so often we have that encounter with God when we come to church. I don't want to miss a miracle. I don't want to miss a word that God had for me. I don't want to miss some touch from God in my life. Just because I was being lazy that day and it wasn't convenient, or something else came up. I want to encounter God in a special way. And so I go to church. I go to church to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And you know what? We should all study, read, meditate the Scriptures on our own every day. It should be a part of a consistent devotional life that we spend time in God's Word. And I thank God for modern technology. You need to use it for good. It's used for evil, but we use it for good. You should watch preachers online and listen to sermons and hear the Word preached. And it's wonderful that you can do that as much as you want with modern technology. But I'm going to tell you the truth this morning when I say there is something different when you are in a live service and the Word of God is being preached. There is an anointing, there's a power that's there that's not there when you're hearing it recorded. I know God can use that to speak to you and work in your life, but I know how much more often it happens in a live service where the Spirit of the Lord is in that place and He speaks into your heart life and changes you forever. We need to hear the Word of God preached. That is the scriptural pattern. It is alive and powerful. See, we don't come to be entertained. No, we come for our lives to be touched, for our lives to be changed in some way. The Word of God is living and powerful. Hebrews 4:12. See, this ungodly world, we're just bombarded with all kinds of deception, all kinds of philosophies of the day. And without the standard of the truth of God's Word, we find ourselves drifting away from reality of God's Word. Oh, how we need to walk in truth. And the only way you can really do that is the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You got to stay in the word. Then he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's the truth of God's word that keeps us on the right path, that keeps us free. So many Christians are bound up in some area of their life, can't seem to get victory. You know what they need? They need to stay in the word. That freedom, that victory will come. But in this world where there's so much deception, so much error, so much that would just pull you away a little bit, the Bible says in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it is the Word of God that transforms our minds. It is the Word of God that will bring faith to you. Living in a world full of skepticism and cynicism where it's so hard to believe. But the Word of God, you see, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and the hearing by the Word of God. See, we all need to be built up. We all need to keep our faith strong. We need to hear the Word of God preached. We need to hear the Word of faith preached. And that brings us to the next point. I go to church so I can grow in the Lord. I didn't just get a ticket to heaven, and now I'm just hanging on. Now I'm just doing life just like anybody else. I know that that grieves the heart of God. Not only because it is an affront to Him and what He has done for us, but because we miss out on so much that He has for us in this life. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be learning. He wants us to be following Jesus. He wants us to become more and more like Jesus. And part of that happens as we go to church. We grow up in Christ. Ephesians 5:25 and 26, again, he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. You notice here he says he's going to sanctify and cleanse his church. He's not talking about the blood. He's not talking about washing away past sins. He's talking about sanctifying and cleansing us by washing us with the word. Amen. That is the word of God that washes over us and gets the world out of our life. It's the Word of God that shows us where we're missing. It shows us where we're not like Jesus yet. It's the Word of God that sanctifies us. Oh, how we need the Word of God as we grow in Christ. But it has everything to do with us coming together as the people of God. I want to read this passage. I'm going to read several verses from Ephesians chapter 4. And I know there's a lot here. We're going to go fast, but first he talks about the fivefold ministry. He says he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. You see, it is as we come together as a church and the ministry of the church and the ministry of the body one to another that we grow up, that we are matured, that we keep growing in the Lord until we become all that He wants us to be. And verse 16 wraps this up and it takes us to the next point. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. By the way, we got to be knit together. We got to be held together. See, this is Bible. This is the way it's supposed to be. Too much of the body of Christ is disjointed, disconnected from one another. We got to be held together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Listen, when it's talking about growth, it's not just numerical growth, but it's spiritual growth. I go to church so that I can be involved in the work of the Lord. We just read right there in verse 16, he says, the effective working by which every part does its share. Every one of us has something to do for God. And we come to church to be involved in the work of the Lord. Now hear me, I'm going to say this very clearly. So much of the ministry of the church happens outside of these four walls. It is God's people out in the community, reaching out to people, ministering to people. But I also see the pattern in Scripture here where the body of Christ is built up by body ministry, that each of us has a place in the body where we each have to do our part, he said. I go to church so I can be more involved in the work of the Lord. Because I want to tell you, no matter how effective, how gifted, anointed, whatever you might be, you will be more used of God if you are connected in some way to a local body. And oh, how we need that. I go to church so I can fulfill all God has for me in being used of God. Some people just go to church, well, just to see what they can get. They just go to church looking for a blessing. And I hope that you get blessed every time you come. But I want to tell you what's better than that. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And there's nothing better than when you know that God has used you in some way to help somebody else, to make a difference in somebody else's eternity. What a blessing that is. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I go to church to be involved in the work of the Lord. And I just want to remind you, church is not a spectator sport, neither in service nor in worship. I go to church to build meaningful relationships with other believers. Acts 2:42 says this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Well, the teaching and the prayer, that all sounds pretty spiritual, but you know what's right there in the middle? Fellowship and breaking bread. And this isn't talking about communion. It's talking about eating together. I like that. Bring a casserole. We're going to do that tonight. We're going to eat together. Hot dogs and hamburgers. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you, this is part of church. And I go to church to have fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ to build meaningful relationships. There's so much surface stuff that's going on right now. And, you know, we got all this modern technology that keeps us connected 24 hours a day. And yet, studies show that people are more lonely than they've ever been. You know why? Because we need this face to face. We need real relationships, not just online, but where we're talking to one another. We hug one another. We love one another. We're affectionate to one another. We pray for one another. We bear one another's burdens. How can you do these things if you're not involved in church? You see, we need each other that way. In verse 46 of that same chapter, it says, every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You see, it wasn't just a thing where they came and they sat on a row at church, but it was a thing where they had relationship with one another. Those strong relationships were developed. And, you know, when that happens, nobody just slips out. What happened to so-and-so? I don't know. Nobody knows. They just disappeared. How'd that happen? No relationships. You got to have some strong relationships. We're supposed to be connected. And I come to church, one of the reasons is to build meaningful relationships with other people. Here is a lie from the pit of hell that is so prominent in the Church of America today. I don't need anybody, it's just me and Jesus. That's not right. It doesn't come from the Bible. In fact, the Bible specifically says that we are never to say, I don't need you. 1 Corinthians 12:21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. No, we all need one another. Amen. We all need every part of the body. It is our diversity that makes us strong. But none of us can say, I don't need the rest of the body. Yes, you do.
Right.
And sooner or later, we all find that out. But we need real relationships in the body of Christ, where when somebody's missing, somebody says, hey, what's going on? See, we need those that will stand with us when we're fighting the fight of faith, when we're going through a battle, a tragedy, a struggle. We need those that are going to be there for us. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You can't fulfill the law of Christ if you're disconnected from the rest of the body. Because we bear one another's burdens. That's how we fulfill that law. The Bible also says to weep with those who weep, to rejoice with those who rejoice. Who are the people in your life, the spiritual people in your life that weep with you? Who do you weep with? I mean, when they're crying, when they're going through it, who are you standing with? Who are the people that you're right there excited and rejoicing with them when they got a new job? That's the way it's supposed to be in the body of Christ.
Yes.
It's not just an event, a thing we went to, a church. No, it is a body. It's a family. Where we all love one another, we care for one another, we're connected. I'm telling you, that's why I go to church. And you know, one of the reasons that so many Christians struggle and they just keep struggling, you know, they can't seem to get their act together with their marriage, or their finances are all messed up, or they don't have a clue about how to raise kids. Did you know there's other people in the body of Christ that know how to do those things? So the Bible tells me, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I've actually had a little experience swinging an axe. And I can tell you, personal testimony, if you got a dull axe, it's worth sitting down and taking the time to sharpen that axe. Because you can get it done when the axe is sharp. And iron, as iron sharpens iron, so a man is sharpened by another, by his friend. And you see, where you might not have it all together, somebody else in the body of Christ might be able to tell you, you know what, this is how you handle your finances. Somebody else might be able to tell you, yeah, I remember my teenager did that one time, and this is how we handled that. I'm just telling you, this is the way it is in the body of Christ. This is what makes us strong, is these relationships with one another. Last, I go to church to pray with other believers. Oh, I just pray on my own. Well, you know what? You should. You should pray without ceasing, the Bible says. You should be praying all the time. And no, we don't pray just to be seen of men. But it is the scriptural pattern and mandate that we also pray with one another. And whenever, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with sarcasm wanting to come out today. So forgive me. I'm not gonna ask permission. I'm gonna get forgiveness. But see, whenever you get to be more spiritual than Peter and John, well, in Jesus, then you don't need to go to church and pray with other believers. But here's what I read about Peter and John, Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer.
Amen.
They went to church to pray. They could have prayed at home. They could have just gotten a couple of guys together and said, hey, we're going to have a prayer meeting over here. No, they went to church to pray. And I want to tell you, it is not just a formality or ritual. When we have prayer for our there's some churches, I don't mean to be critical, but I'm just saying we need to get back to what church is supposed to look like. And there are some churches today, you can go to a service and there'll never be one time in that service they prayed. We need to pray as a people. And it is not just a little thing when there's a group of people that are getting together to pray here. It's not a little thing that we have people that are praying before the services. In fact, nothing happens without God's blessing and His anointing, and we get that because people are praying. Prayer is so much a part of why we come together as a church. Jesus said, "My house will be the house of prayer." And so we make that a priority. You know, when you're sick, you can just pray on your own and ask God to heal you. And sometimes that is exactly the way it happens. But sometimes you got to do what the scripture says. If there's any sick among you, James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 tells us, you call for the elders, you get the leaders of the church to pray, to anoint you with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord will raise you up and forgive you if you've committed any sins. If this is not the way it's supposed to be, why is it in the Bible? Why is it in the New Testament? There's something powerful about coming together and praying for one another. Jesus himself said, "And believers shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, there's something powerful. You see, when you lay hands on somebody, there is an impartation. And it's not even just about praying for the sick. There are times when they prayed over someone, they laid hands on them to send them out in ministry. I'm telling you, there's something powerful about laying hands on somebody, anointing them with oil. There's a reason the scripture says to do these things, and you got to come to church. I realize you can anoint somebody with oil. I hope you go to the hospital and pray for somebody, lay hands on them. But I'm just telling you, a lot of the time, these are the things that are happening here at church. And we'll just end with this one. We end this way every Sunday. It's Matthew 18 and 19. Again, I say to you that if any two of you agree on earth is touching anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. That's why we close every service with an opportunity to pray. There'll be somebody here that believes God, somebody that knows how to pray, so they can pray in agreement with you about your situation or what you're going through or what your need is. But that is a powerful time of ministry. I go to church to pray with other believers. It's a powerful thing when we pray in agreement together. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray right now. As we do, I'd like for our prayer partners to come.